4. Genesis chapter number 4. And I'll be reading verse number 25 and 26. 25 and 26. Genesis 4, 25 and 26. Genesis 4, 25 and 26 says, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Amen. Then began men to call on the name of the Lord. And that's what I want to preach about. I want to preach about calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord. God bless you. You could be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. It doesn't matter what situation you and I are facing. Throughout the Bible, God continually has said and is continually saying that if you will call on me, I will answer. I thought of this setting of scripture here, and I thought about this simple phrase that is used so often about calling on the name of the Lord. And when we think of that calling on the name of the Lord, I thought, where does this begin? Where does this really have its roots? And in the original place, or the place to get the pattern, this is really where it all began. If you start to trace everything backwards from now until then, this is the first time mentioned in the scripture that they called on the name of the Lord. Amen. And we find throughout scripture also that not only will we call on him, but that he will answer. Amen. When you don't know what to do, when I don't know what to do, I'm going to tell you today, this is what we all can do, and that is call on the name of the Lord. Amen. There are often times that many of us have felt this way, and maybe even somebody here this morning, that you feel like, I just don't know what else to do. I don't know where else to turn. I've tried this and I've tried that. Well, have you tried calling on the name of the Lord? And some may say, well, yeah, I have, but he hasn't talked to me. He hasn't responded. He hasn't answered. Well, let's talk about that for a little while. Life was going on as usual, and it is interesting when I came back to this originating point of calling on the Lord, it doesn't have or give us any indication what was going on to provoke them or to encourage them to call on the name of the Lord. It just simply is sometime after Abel is slain by his brother Cain, and that Seth is born and has another son by the name of Enos. And so that's all that we have the indication of. But most generally, when we look through the setting of scripture, we will find when most people called on the name of the Lord, it was because of some type of trouble or need that they were in. They needed something from God. Amen. And we can look, and I'm going to take just a little bit of time, if you'll look quickly with me, at some of the patriarchs of old. Abraham, in Genesis chapter number 12, in verse number 7, said that he built an altar, and he called on the name of the Lord there. In Genesis 26 and 25, there's a pattern being set And Isaac says that he built an altar and he called on the name of the Lord. Another place in Genesis 35 and 7, another patriarch by the name of Jacob. And it says that he also built an altar and called on the name of the Lord. There was a need. There was a relationship that was being built up here between them. And we have a pattern that is set before us even today on this subject of calling on the name of the Lord. Long before Moses was ever given the tabernacle plan of how long and how wide and goat skins and badger skins and how to dye this and an altar made of shittim wood covered in gold and a brazen laver and golden candlesticks and an altar of incense and a golden table of shewbread and then the Ark of the Covenant with two angels with their wings touching each other and all the intricate detail. Long before that ever happened, Moses was one that was also calling upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Cain and his descendants, we understand that there was, because of Cain's offense and his sin, he was cast out. He became, if I can use this term here today, self-sufficient or independent of God. And how many people today live their lives in a self-sufficient way, in an independent way, that they no longer call on the name of the Lord? I believe today, and I'm going to do the best that I know how to do, and get us back to a place where we truly call on the name of the Lord as they did throughout the Word of God. And in this wickedness that Cain had done, and in his independency, we have another man by the name of Seth that was put on the scene as a seed to the godly, to godly seed, if I can say it that way. And Seth begat Enos. And then we find that men began to call on the name of the Lord. Amen. Without any tools, without any methods, without any techniques or programs, without music, without a bunch of fanfare and display, they knew how to touch God. My question to you today is, and even to myself, is how do we touch God today like they did of old? How can I talk to God, and how can God answer me? It's not, I'm going to tell you today, through another program, fancy music, great singing, great buildings. All of those things are nice, but they're not the way for us to be in communication with God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
People got a revelation that God was not just their creator, but he was so much more than that. And somehow, through some kind of trouble or need, we don't know what it really was that brought them to this place of calling on him. But nevertheless, they began to call. I'm not preaching here today a super deep philosophical, theological message. It's going to come to you today with great simplicity, because the Bible even said that a fool nor wayfaring man not need to err therein. You don't have to have college education. You don't have to have some seminary degree, because God made his word very simple. I don't know what to do. I'll tell you what to do. Call on the name of the Lord. When Abraham went down to Egypt in a very unwise passion, he ran straight back to a place and he began to build an altar in Genesis 13, and he called on the name of the Lord. You see, we can make mistakes. We can have failures, trespasses, transgressions in our lives. But it is of the utmost importance that when we find ourselves in the place of transgression, that we go running back to that place called the altar, and we call on his name.
Amen, amen.
This here is the starting point. It is the theme that really runs through the entire Bible. The word call means to cry out, to entreat, to call on one, to beseech, to beg, to plead, to call out with all of your heart. This really blends in with much of what we've been teaching and preaching about our faith increasing and multiplying. Amen. This is giving us some good solid instruction. This is giving us some good solid understanding of what we must do to get where we want to get to. Amen. You know, so much of our world and our society today is dependent upon technology, is dependent upon your talents, is dependent upon your education. I know, and I've heard it said many times, well, you just can't get a job unless you have a college education, or you can't get a good job unless you have a college education. I was reading my Bible there just yesterday, and in Psalms 119, there the latter portions, I think it was like 145 or somewhere there, it said that that God hath made me wiser than all of my teachers. And I stopped and I went, wait a second. God hath made me wiser than all of my teachers. Why? Because his precepts were written upon the table of my heart. You want to get wise? You want to get understanding? You want to really go somewhere, if you will? I'm telling you today, if you'll call on the name of the Lord and study his word and live accordingly, God can take you places that an education will never take you. God can do things with you that no education, no money, no position could ever take you. Now, I know that may not be entirely the most popular preaching, but in order to get there, there's some things we have to do. We got to understand that we're not in charge of the show.
Amen.
We got to understand that we're not the boss. We got to understand that we're not in control. And there's nobody that likes to be out of control. Let's face it, we all are a bunch of control freaks, some worse than others. But we want to control every aspect of our life. But how many times do we find ourselves, really, the more we desire to be in control, the more we realize we are out of control? I don't have it all together. The more I try to put God in this box and keep everything contained and keep it all in a way that I want it to be, I find out that I'm more out of control than I've ever been when I try to do what I want to do. Amen. Amen. Later on in this word, when you start to break down the word call, it later has another meaning that came into play. And the word developed into this also. And that is, when it says call, it means to praise, to worship, to extol one's voice high, to exalt, to honor, i.e. even to celebrate. So now we don't just have this pleading, this beseeching, this calling out with all my heart, but now I've gotten to this place of praise, of worship, of exaltation, of celebration. Amen. Then there's a third meaning that did come after that, and that is to tell abroad, to call out, to communicate with one another, to tell somebody else. To tell somebody else. So let me break this down and put it in this way. This calling became a distinguishing mark of God's people everywhere. Look it through the whole, look through the whole entire Bible, and you will see it becomes a distinguishing mark of who God's people are. The origin, the root of everything we are even doing today begins with calling on the name of the Lord. Did anybody do that today? Oh, sure we did. We called on the name of the Lord today when we began to pray. Maybe before we even got here, maybe you did, instead of calling in the light of beseeching or pleading or calling, entreating Him, maybe you started your day off with, "Oh, thank you, Jesus, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for the breath that I'm breathing." Maybe it was with a praise. We even sang some songs here today and had a time of celebration, of worship, of praise. Those are all very important components to this thing that we call, that I'm going to call, living for God. Then as God, now listen here, so as the root of it is that we are calling on Him in that light of pleading, entreating, beseeching. But then God responds to this entreating. God responds to us pleading. God responds to us. So what do? We call again through praise and through worship. Why? Because He answered. And so we say, "Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you for touching my body. Thank you for touching and helping me here. Thank you for this job. Thank you for my spouse. Thank you." We begin to praise Him and worship Him again. But then it goes on into that third phase. Because we pled, because we entreated of the Lord, we worshiped, and then we told somebody else about it. We told somebody else, "Hey, look what the Lord hath done. I was sick in my body, and He healed me. I had a need here, and He answered my prayer." You see, this calling on God is a very key component for our day-to-day living. While other nations throughout the Bible may have had better weapons of warfare, they did not have what Israel had. Israel had the ability to call on the name of the Lord. Time would fail me today, and I'm not going to take it today and go through all the times where they were up against an army that was way superior than what they were. But they begin to call on the name of the Lord. And wow, look what happened. God would step in and have dominion over every one of their enemies.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, it's important for us to learn how to call on the name of the Lord. One individual, just real quickly, in 1 Chronicles 4, talks of a man by the name of Jabez, and that he called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil." Oh, that's a prayer of mine today. God, keep me from evil. God, keep me from evil. I want God to bless me. Oh yeah, we all want God to bless us, but I really, more than anything, I'm asking God, keep me from evil. We talked about it the other night, how David had even said, or in the Psalm 119, how it said that thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I want His word to be deeply engraved on the tables of my heart, that I may not sin against God. Keep me from evil, he said, that it may not grieve me. And look here, verse number 10, at the end of this it says, "And God granted him that which he requested. Oh my, I'm looking forward to being able to call on the name of the Lord that I might praise him, to give him glory, to give him honor, to let everybody else know that the God that I have, the God that I serve, he answers. I'm praising him and I'm telling you about it. I'm letting you know how good of a God I serve. Psalms 55:16 said, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." Deuteronomy 4:7. Allow me just a moment to establish some of these things through Scripture. Deuteronomy 4:7. "For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for?" Wow. Isn't that awesome? Amen. What nation? What nation? And now we know that this was talking about the nation of Israel, but we can talk in this regard, the people of God. What people have such a great opportunity, has so great of knowledge and understanding that God is so close to us that when we call on him, he will answer. Psalms 18:3 said, "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." Psalms 18:6, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even unto his ears." Psalms 86:5, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." This word call, just the call, not any other compound call, calleth, calling, any of that. Just the word call itself is mentioned 190 times. 80% of those times have to deal with just calling on the name of the Lord. I believe there's some significance in the Word of God to reiterate that over and over again. And some of you may even hear today go, "You know why? It seems like you just beat the dead horse saying, call on the name of the Lord." Well, I'm going to tell you, have you really called on the name of the Lord?
Oh, hallelujah.
Have you really called on the name of the Lord? There's some things even this morning that I was praying and asking God, "God, I need you to intervene here. I need you to intervene. Is there somebody in this house that has a need today?"
Yeah.
If you got a need today, I'm serving a God right here, right now, that has an answer, that can help you, that can facilitate that need. Whether it doesn't matter really what it is, God can help. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. God, I'm going to lean to you. I'm going to lean on your word. You even said it in your word, not to lean to my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge you. I'm going to acknowledge you today, and I'm going to call on you. I've got some situations. There's a scripture that came to my heart this morning while I was praying in Thessalonians that said, "Deliver me from unreasonable and wicked men." There's some people that can be unreasonable, and we just need God to help us. God, it don't matter how you do it, how you fix it, but there's some unreasonable men in my world that are asking some unreasonable things. And that, now David said it multiple times. Go back in your Bible and look at it in your Bible. Your Bible's full of it. David said it all the time, that his enemies were coming after him. God, deliver me. God, help me. And David was a mighty man of valor. He wasn't no scared chicken. He wasn't running around and trying to hide. He would have faced Saul, but he knew that was God's anointed. God called Saul, and I can't touch God's anointed. But Saul, David had plenty of opportunity to kill Saul.
Yes, he did.
Plenty
give up. So he was not no wimp. But you find David continually calling on the name of the Lord. Oh, I believe there was something. And that was the reason why even after David had committed adultery, that he found a place where he was calling on the name of the Lord. And God turns around and said, that's a man after my own heart. That's a man after my own heart. That's a man after my own heart. That can fail. That can utterly fall. But he can call on me, and I'm there to save him. I'm there to help him. I'm there to deliver him. Oh, to be called a man after God's own heart. To be called an individual, woman or man, male or female, to be one that is called after God's own heart. I'm going to tell you the ticket, the key, the answer to being called something like that is to be able to call on the name of the Lord with all your heart. Right. Not depending on yourself. I can preach like this because there's a lot of times I find myself depending on me. Because I can do this and I can do that. And I'm smart enough to do this. And then I find out, well, you ain't as smart as you thought you were. You ain't as strong as you were thought you were. And I find all kinds of holes in myself. I need the Lord.
Amen.
We need the Lord.
Amen.
We need His help. Let me read a few more scriptures here to you. Psalms 86 and 7 said, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Amen. Let me say it like this. David here again, he's basically in so many of his writings and his psalms. He's saying, you can do anything you want to me. You can fight against me. You can talk about me. You can lie on me. You can persecute me. But buddy, when I get to the place that I call on the name of the Lord, you better look out. Huh? Now you say, oh, you're using that as a weapon. David said, he got to the place where he was running. And he got to the place where he was being brought before unreasonable men and unreasonable situations and so on and so forth. When David was pure and upright. And he said, God, hey, you got to do something about this. Amen. How many times did God do something?
Yes, sir. Oh,
yeah. Anybody want to be like that? Have it toward God? Hey, God, how many of y'all remember when I preached here just not too long ago that in the scripture it's substantiated, we're his servant?
Right.
We're his son,
right.
But then we're also considered his bride.
Right.
And a servant can ask so much,
right.
Because that's the master. He can get so much out of the master.
Right.
The son can get even more, right?
Right.
Because he's his son.
Yes,
buddy, when you talk about the bride asking,
yes, sir.
Whatever you want, you got an open checkbook. Now, some of y'all may not have an open checkbook. This ain't time to do any counseling or anything like that. You've got to say, you understand what I'm talking about? When you talk about that difference, there's a difference between just being the servant of God and asking God as a servant. There's a whole other realm, brothers and sisters, when you start asking God as a child. Because there's only so much I can do as a servant. But God, I'm your boy, and you love me, and you care about me. But man, when you step back and you say, I'm your bride. I'm your bride. I'm your lover. Come on, I'm going to tell you what, there's something in the heart of a man that will protect, in the heart of a father that will protect.
Amen.
I'm going to give you a plugged nickel for a daddy that don't protect his kids.
Right, right.
I'm going to give you a plugged nickel that want to protect his wife. Come on.
Yeah.
Hey, that dad may be a big old dude. He may be 10 times bigger than you and tougher and meaner looking. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You start picking on my wife, I'm going to at least die trying.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Huh? And that's me in my flesh. But man, you talk about God. Yeah, you ain't messing with my bride. That's mine.
Right.
Right.
Come on now. That's my bride. I bought with a price. I purchased with my own blood. That's mine. And I'm going to tell you, there's something about God. And the Bible even said that he's jealous over you with a godly jealousy.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. He's interested in taking care of you. Amen. So David could say, you just wait and see. When I start talking to God about you, you better look out. I ain't coming to you. And that's why he stood before that giant that was so big. You come to me with a sword and a shield and all this other kind of stuff. And even though David had that sling and was swirling it around, he didn't say, but I come to you with a sling and a stone and I'm going to knock you in the head.
No.
What did he do? He said, but I come to you. He didn't care what was in his head. It didn't matter what was in his hand. You realize that? Just David could have said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Because it wasn't about what David had in his hand, friend. It was about the God that David served. It was about the God that David was calling on. It had nothing to do with that sling. It had nothing to do with a rock. It had nothing to do, but it had everything to do with a boy that knew how to call on the name of the Lord. Is there anybody in the house that knows how to call on the name of the Lord? Said, because he that inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. I know God is hearing me. Now we've talked, let me balance some of this just real quick, because we've already talked about it, but I want to remind you again, we've talked about that place, that our faith is not diminished, because faith, when we pray, we know God's going to answer, and just because he doesn't answer on our time frame, doesn't mean that God isn't going to answer.
Right.
Because faith allows God to be God.
Amen.
Faith allows God to be God and on his time frame.
Amen.
Not all the time did each one of these prayers get answered immediately. Some of them did, some of them didn't. Some of them did later on down the road. Some of them were there for a purpose. Some of the trials, some of the tribulation, some of the trouble, some of the need was designed to make them stronger. Do you understand? Instead of cursing your trouble, instead of cursing your situation, instead of cursing that, if you will, and say, why me? No, embrace it. Say, God, what am I supposed to learn? What am I supposed to learn? Because whatever I'm supposed to learn, let me learn it quickly so we can move on.
Amen.
I don't know, that's the way I feel. I feel like that. I want to get on with it. I want to get out of that. I don't like trouble. No more than the next person.
Yeah.
But I can guarantee you every time that trouble has come, that a need has come, that a difficult situation has come, and I've called on the name of the Lord, and he's brought me out so faithfully, sometimes immediately, sometimes within weeks, sometimes even with years. And sometimes it's just, it still hasn't yet to come. But God, my faith says, God, you're in control, not me. My faith says, you're God, I am not. I think I know, but I know that you know.
Amen.
Come on. I think I know, but I know that you know. If I don't know anything, I know that you know what's going on.
Right.
I know that you care. I know that you can see. I know that you understand. And for whatever purpose that I'm here today, God, help me. Help me to understand. Psalms 118 and 5 said, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me, and he set me in a large place. He said, I'm going to answer you, and I'm going to set you in a large place. Now here's a little twist that we need to consider. Psalms 14 and 4 said, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Question. Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? This is a question. And he says, those who are iniquitous are people that eat up God's people. But the thing that set them apart from God's people is that they don't call on the name of the Lord. And I'm not going to take a lot of time here this morning. I may come back at a later session and do this, but there, just as well as there's much to substantiate on calling on the name of the Lord, there is a lot about not calling on the name of the Lord. And those that are not calling on the name of the Lord, some way, somehow, some fashion, have its tie to iniquity, trespass, and sin.